Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello and welcome back to the Already Friends podcast. This is Kara.
And this is Allison.
Today we have our July What Would Your Bestie Do? Our monthly advice segment where you guys send in what you're going through, send in your situations, questions, really anything. And then we take a look, we choose 3 or 5 questions to answer, and then we give you our advice.
Yes. And as always, we keep these anonymous so that you guys can give us the full lowdown, the juicy details, and not worry that anyone else listening knows that it's you. So we'll get into that. But first, as always, we'll do our catch up, share our peaks of the week, and then we will get into the questions.
Perfect. Any updates on your end? I feel like it's been like a week, or I guess it's always been a week, but it feels like a little bit longer since we've been chatting.
Yes. First of all, welcome to Europe.
Thank you.
How does it feel to be over here? Again, I know you're just here with the London trip in May, but now you're back.
I know, we do keep saying that, but I do feel like it's so different. Like, I feel like a summer in France is totally different than my London trip. I don't know why. It really isn't. They're both Europe, but I agree. Like, I don't associate the two. Maybe because one's in the EU, one's separate. I don't know. But yes, being in France is amazing. I'm here for work. So far, so good. We're in the south of France. Could not be better. Beautiful weather, beautiful sights, blue water. Even though we're working, we're getting like a little bit of downtime here and there. And that's been really fun to even just go lay at the beach for an hour or two or stay up late and do a sunset hike. I will happily work here and get to enjoy it probably less than if you were to come here on vacation and like have all the time. So I'm like, even just being here, the vibes are great.
Oh my gosh, so fun. You said sunset hike. Is the sunset also setting at like 10:30 down there? Or is that just because I'm so far north?
I think it's because you're more north. It is setting very late. I think it set at 9:15 last night, which is crazy. And yes, we did the sunset hike because we got done shooting in the late afternoon. And our videographer, Tom, he's French. He's amazing. Tom Pacelli. He loves hiking and he found this hike nearby. I was laughing because I would never think to look up a hike in the south of France. I don't know why. I feel like if I'm here, I'm just thinking beach. I'm thinking and being in the sun by the water. And yeah, he found this really cool hike. So we went and it was beyond stunning. It was really cloudy and gray and ugly when we were about to leave. Because it was like, I think it's like an hour and a half up and it's very high up. And we were like, is it going to be really gray and gross at the top? Is it worth doing? And we're like, no, let's just go. Let's just see what happens. And we get to the top. It's seriously the most insane sunset. It just kept getting better and better. And then like at one point, the whole sky was just red and pink and just literally the kind of sunset you hope and dream for. So we got some amazing photos and videos for fun up there because it wasn't part of the shoot. So it was fun to get to do something creative. And I brought out my video camera again and was filming on my professional video camera. And it was fun to tap into that again because I used to do wedding videos. And I still do a little bit of professional freelance videos here and there, but I really hadn't done that in so long. So it was really fun to kind of vlog, or even we did like more like cinemagraph, put the video on a tripod. Yeah, it took some cool videos and stuff, but yeah, it was beautiful, beautiful sunset. And on the way down, since we waited so long, we were watching the end of the sunset until it was just almost really dark. It was so scary going down. And usually they say like whatever, how long it takes to get to the top, it's only like 2/3 of that on the way down, but it took us like the same amount of time to go down. I don't know why, but we were like walking in just complete pitch black for the last half of the way down, and it was a little scary, and we were like kind of in a sketchy area. So it was a little scary, but we made it and we're fine and we survived.
Oh my gosh. Well, I'm glad that the sunset was really good. That happened to Clay and I one time in Colombia where we were just admiring the view and then didn't really think that much about getting down. And then same, we were going through these trees and it was super dark. And then we got down to the bottom. We were in this random neighborhood, like on an interstate, because we went down the backside of the mountain. So it was like a different way. So I totally relate. I know what you mean. Where it was like, oops, maybe we should have left earlier.
It was totally our own doing, though. Like, the sun just kept getting better and better and better. Like, I'll post photos at some point. And if you want to see, go to my Instagram because you'll see. It was, like, so amazingly worth it. But, yeah, we had a local when we were going up. We were kind of going, like, 2.5 hours before sunset. And a local literally stopped us and was like, you know, it takes an hour to get up there. And we're like, yeah. And he's like, okay, some people just don't know. So, yeah.
So you had your warning?
Was a little scary. Yeah, we had our warning. Exactly. But, yeah, no, we made it out alive. And we're here to tell the tale. So that's my fun update. I'm sure I'll have more to share. But how about you? What's going on now?
It was a pretty active week. I am really happy that it's rainy and kind of chilly and cloudy today because I need like a lazy work from home decompress day. It's just so easy to be really, really active here. And I'm feeling good in pregnancy. Mm-hmm. So I've easily been hitting 10K steps a day. I'm biking like 4 to 6 miles. And then probably like every other day I go to a yoga class. And finally last night I was like, oh my God, I'm so sore. Like I have just been being so active. And I'm really grateful that my body is feeling that good at almost 6 months pregnant. But today I'm like, okay, we're resting. I'm going to go to a sound bath later tonight. I already signed up at 5:30 and then just get some stuff done around the house today because I feel like we haven't had a proper lazy Sunday since Clay works with his clients Monday through Friday. Then when it's the weekend, we're like, oh, we want to go explore and do stuff together. But then that compounds because now we've been here for almost 2 months and we're like, oh, we like haven't chilled or stopped.
And that's definitely probably the excitement too, mm-hmm. of living somewhere new and wanting to do it all. So I totally can see how that happened.
Exactly. Like all of these adorable places. We want to go to the beach. We want to try this spot. And I have to remind myself, like, we're going to be here and none of it's going away. It's okay if I lay low at home. And a couple of fun things that happened over the last week. Jessie and her boyfriend, Brian, they came to visit. She was shooting a wedding in Italy. So she came up on her way out, which was very nice of her. So good to have visitors. Felt good to be a host.
I saw Jessie's Instagram stories when she posted that and I literally screamed. I was like, this looks so fun. I'm so happy that you guys all got to get together. And of course, I'm a sucker for anything peaches. And her little pictures with you guys and peaches on the boat, I was like, this is so cute.
Yeah, we did a canal self-guided tour. And it was so easy. You just go to this website and they have them docked out on the canal. So you don't even have to talk to a person or a company or anything. You just go up, you put in the code and then you drive off. And I'm like, I don't know if this could work in the US because we kept being like, are we being cynical? But like, wouldn't Americans crash it? Wouldn't Americans be putting like 20 people on this boat and everyone's getting drunk? Like, I just don't even know if that business model would, like, they're just very trusting that people are going to come, drive the boat, do it during their allotted time, have no issues, and then put it back.
Yeah, that is very trusting. I fear we would ruin it.
I think we would.
The Americans.
And it was funny because we were saying that and we were being so responsible. But then kind of at the hour mark, we were way out on this really side canal. So it was more narrow, but the houses were insane, like the prettiest homes I've ever seen. And then the canal kept getting narrower and narrower and narrower. And then the bottom like kind of got stuck and we were churning like all of this seaweed. And we did like a 20 point turn to get it out because both edges of the boat were touching the walls. And we were like, the Americans, look at what we did.
Wait, that's crazy. What a narrow canal. Holy moly.
I know, we were saying there was probably people like in their backyards along the way, like, look at these stupid people. There's no way they're going to get out because, yeah, it was very tight.
But you proved them wrong.
Proved them wrong. Yeah, and it was so fun. Showed her some coffee shops, a couple of my other favorite spots. I feel like there's not like any one big main attraction here. It's just kind of the lifestyle and the surroundings are just so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And then
wow.
in all of my walking that I've been doing over the last couple of weeks, I've seen a lot of cute businesses or shops or cafes or things from the street, but I don't always go in. And so over the last week, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to scratch the itch, follow my curiosity and go into some of these places. In worst case, it just will not be that cute or I don't come back. And I found a really aesthetic vegetarian restaurant and it was delicious. I toured an actual gym because I have my yoga membership, but I don't have like an actual gym membership yet. And two co-working spaces and a really fun secondhand shop. I got a scarf and this cool oversized bag. It felt nice to finally go into some places that I had had my eye on.
Yeah. So do those days kind of zonk you sometimes? Like, I feel like the days where I'm exploring a ton of new things, by the end of the day, I'm like, oh my God, that was so much new stuff, at least in St. Louis. Like, of course you're traveling. It's all new stuff. But like when I'm home and I do like all these new things, sometimes it's really exhausting.
Oh my gosh, yeah, 100%. And you don't really realize how much you're walking or how much the stimulation does impact your body. Because same, I'll get home.
Mm-hmm.
And if you guys are like, why are you doing this? It's because Clay has client calls basically from 2 to 8 p.m. most days. And so usually in the morning, I'll work from home. I'll eat here, do stuff around the house. And then when he jumps on his calls, I'm like, okay, I'm just going to leave the house for 6 hours. So I'll walk around, I'll go to a yoga class. But if I have Peaches with me, then I don't go to a yoga class. So I just keep walking and going into places. And usually by that point, I've already worked like 6 hours because I mm-hmm. work in the morning. And I'm like, okay, what else am I going to do? I'll just keep walking around. And yeah, by the time I get home, when he's done with his calls, I'm like, oh my God, I'm tired.
No, it really does. It takes it out of you. I know we talked about that, but there is less brain power in familiarity. So I'm sure as you get more and more settled, it'll be less exhausting. But I did have a day recently in St. Louis where I had so many new things I was doing. And by the end, I was like, holy moly, that was so much brain power, like meeting new people and like doing new routines and like, yeah, all that stuff. It's really exhausting. So kudos to you.
Thank you. I am feeling seriously so proud of my body and so grateful because I've been watching some TikToks of people's pregnancy kind of at this point. And I don't feel guilty for feeling so well, but I'm just like, wow, I am really, really thankful that I do feel this good and have loved being pregnant because I know it's not the case for everyone. And I'm just glad that I'm not in this new place feeling like alone and in pain and going through all these complications.
Mm-hmm.
It really is a blessing to be able to, I don't know, feel so good right now. Well, feel good the whole time.
That's so true. So I'm glad that you are feeling good because that is such a blessing.
Thank you. Same, same. And a little quick shout. I want to say happy birthday to my sister. It was her birthday yesterday. So happy birthday, Ash. And I always remember that our sisters have really close birthdays because McKenna's is coming up in 2 days too.
Yes. Happy birthday, Ashley. And happy birthday, McKenna. The All New Friends podcast sisters' birthdays.
I feel like there's just times of the year where a lot of my loved ones have birthdays that are like all smashed into like 1 week. And this week is one of those. It's my sister. It's your sister, Sam. Happy birthday, Sam. And I mean, very important, but Jessie's cat's birthday. And she had her big party for Banjo yesterday, it would have been. So I was having FOMO. And yeah, if I would have gone back to Omaha 1 week this summer, it would have been this week.
Aw. Yeah. Well, happy birthday to all those people, to everybody. And yeah, I think we can do peaks of the week.
Yeah, let's do peaks. What's yours?
I always do boring peaks or just like story. So that I probably already said in the episode. So I'll pick an actual peak of the week this time. My peak is that when I landed on this trip, I had a layover in London before I got to France. I got to shower in the airport at London Heathrow. And that was just the most amazing feeling ever to get off a 7.5 hour flight and have a shower and rinse off all the disgusting germs and change into a whole new outfit. That felt so amazing. And shout out to the Amex Lounge and my Amex Platinum for getting me into that lounge and having a shower because there was truly no better feeling in the world.
Wow, I love that. You're so right. Getting off a long flight, it's like even if you showered before the flight and you were feeling clean, it just immediately is diminished.
1,000%. And there, I was in the Chase Lounge in Boston and they like advertise the shower. So everything on that lounge, you have to order on a QR code. It's like you order your food, you can book things. And like they advertise the shower so much that it was fully booked the entire time I was there. And at the Amex Lounge, it's just kind of like hidden in the back. which I feel like it should be. Like, if you need a shower, you know you need a shower, and you're going to reach out and find the shower. Whereas, like, Chase, I feel like everyone was just showering because, like, it was just kept being promoted on, like, all these signs on your phone, like, do the shower. And so I was very happy that Amex was not promoting the shower, because when I got there, it was, like, free and available, and it wasn't, like, booked. So shout out to Amex for not making it, like, a booking thing. Like, you can just show up, and if it's available, you take it. Because Chase, it was fully booked for the 3 hours I was in the lounge, even though I wasn't going to shower, but I'm glad that Amex does not do that.
I mean, good tip to know for people listening that if they do have lounge access, then with some of those perks to really plan ahead and get them booked, otherwise they might miss out.
Yes. If you ever go into a lounge and you're thinking about showering, check right away. Like, check right when you get there, especially like a Chase lounge where you have to reserve things. It's like they sometimes have massages or meditation pods, nap pods. It's all reservations in that one. So I like got my phone out right away. Everything was already booked. But whatever, next time.
True. Well, we can link your referral credit card links in the show notes as well.
Awesome. What's your peak of the week?
I have a very exciting peak of the week. And it's funny because literally maybe last week or the week before, we were talking about baby names. And I was like, I think we'll wait until the baby's born. But we did decide on a name.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm not going to tell
you guys. Are you going to keep it though until birth? Are you going to share it? Okay. Yeah. I was going to say, wait, there's no way you're going to tell us right now.
No. Okay. So it's actually the name that I really liked that Clay was like on the fence about. And I wasn't forcing it on him. I was just like, it's such a cute name. And then this is so crazy. His mom sent a picture of a little baby beanie with this name embroidered into the beanie. It was just like a photo from Pinterest. She texted to Clay and Clay is like, what the heck? Like, did Allison tell you? And she's like, tell me what? And he's like, that's the name we picked literally just a couple of days ago. And his mom was like, no, she didn't say anything. And so how crazy is it that of all of the names in the world, it's not like she sent any other ideas. She was just like, oh, I think it's a cute name and fits you guys. And so that like sealed the deal for him. So thank you, Kathy, even though it was not, this was not planned. This was not an inside job. Truly, it happened organically, but I'm really happy because I think it's the cutest name.
Oh my gosh. Like that cannot be more of a, of a sign that this is the name that was meant to be.
I know. I'm like, he chose his name and then he told us. And so we're going with it.
Aww.
And then the second half of this exciting update is I finally felt him like really kick. I had felt, they call it the quickening, when you can start to feel some flutters and stuff. But since it's my first pregnancy, I like have a hard time distinguishing sometimes what could just be like, I don't know, normal stomach digestion or movements and sounds happening. But last night, he kicked so hard that it jolted me up off the couch. And Clay was like, what? And I was like, he kicked me so hard. And we were both just like, oh my God. But it was intense.
Oh my gosh, that is crazy.
I know. I was really like hoping and praying it would happen soon because I'm at 23 weeks. Well, which we could go into this later, but I think I'm at 23 weeks. The doctor thinks I'm at 22 weeks. The doctor's probably right. We'll see when the baby's born. But I just, you would feel kicked by 24 weeks. So that gap was kind of closing. And I was like, I want to feel him already. And then it happened.
Oh, that's so exciting. And congrats on picking a name or sealing the deal.
Sealing the deal. Yes. Thank you so much. All right. Listener picks the week.
I love this one from Jenna. She said, visiting my bestie in Denver and touching some grass. That makes me LOL. Hope you had the best time, and I'm happy that you guys touched some grass.
Allie said, played kickball with friends, but used slip and slides and kiddie pools. It was so much fun. That sounds awesome. Love that you guys are tapping into your inner child.
Brooke said, a family hibachi night on the Blackstone. That sounds delicious. And what good family quality time.
This is a great appreciation of the small things. Adriana said, buying a new baby cactus. I love the feeling of getting a new plant or a fresh bouquet of flowers. As always, send in your peaks of the week on our Instagram story box every Monday at Already Friends Podcast.
Okay, we have some really great questions this week. And this first one, I feel like is an Allison question, or at least a question that I want your answer for first. So do you care if I read this one and we can start?
Perfect. Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, Allison and Kara, I wanted to ask your opinion about going on a trip to Europe during my maternity leave. I am due in January with our first child, and the idea of sitting in my house all winter is killing me. I was thinking, why not take 2 weeks out of my 3 month leave and go to Europe? For an itinerary, I was thinking maybe Italy, Netherlands, and London. London because I used to live there and would love to see some old friends. The other two places because my husband has never been, and they're two of my favorite places in Europe. What are your thoughts? Am I DeLulu to think that I could do this with a newborn?
Well, if you are DeLulu for thinking it, I'm equally as DeLulu because I am imagining the same thing. My due date is like early December, and I'm feeling the same way. I'm like, there's no way I can do nothing all January, February, March. Like, I'm going to need to go somewhere. I travel every year in January and February to escape the winter. December I'm okay with because I feel like December is charming and it's not even that cold yet. But I think it's really going to depend on the temperament of the baby. I was watching this TikTok the other day of this girl, and she was saying how her first baby was just like really fussy, really colicky. She was always really tired and the baby would cry a lot. And now her second kid, she's like, I did the exact same parenting methods. We lived in the same place. And her second kid, she's like, is so chill, basically never cries. She's like, it's just been so much easier. And she's like, I don't think it's because it's my second kid. Like, the babies are just very different. And I think it does kind of depend. Like, if you have a chill go with the flow baby who isn't sick, then I think it could make that easier. Because I mean, even dog wise, like, yes, I've been traveling with Peaches for so many years, and not to try to compare a dog to a baby, but I feel like there's some dogs who just like, you couldn't take them everywhere. Even if they got, quote, used to it and you acclimated them, that just wouldn't be comfortable for them, whether they have anxiety or are really large and it's just complicated to travel with such a big dog. To where with Peaches, like, I love bringing her everywhere.
Okay, we're gonna take a quick break and talk about one of our sponsors real quick, Shopify. As you guys know, starting a small business, there's nothing small about it. There are so many things to do. And both myself and Allison run a business, obviously, we run this podcast, and it has been consuming us since we started. There's always a new decision to make. And sometimes those small decisions feel so massive. And something that really helps you when you have a small business is choosing a company that has a great reputation, that does things right, so that the small decisions can be the right decision. So that's why we love Shopify. It is the best commerce platform, and Shopify is behind millions of businesses around the world. Did you know it actually is 10% of all e-commerce in the US is Shopify? So that's brands like Mattel, Gymshark, Skims, you name it. Those brands use Shopify. You can tackle all of your important tasks in one place, from inventory to payments to analytics and more. Shopify makes the marketing minefield easy with built-in tools for running social media and email campaigns, so you can find new customers and keep them. And if you're looking to grow your business internationally, Shopify has global selling tools that can help you in over 150 countries. I mean, for us, it's a no-brainer. Shopify is the e-commerce platform to use if you're selling anything online. Get all the big stuff right for your small business right now with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 per month trial and start selling today at shopify.com/alreadyfriends. You can use the code alreadyfriends to get a $1 per month trial. Again, at shopify.com/alreadyfriends. Thanks to Shopify for sponsoring the show. Okay, the holidays are sneaking up fast, and it is not too early to get started on your holiday shopping and actually have fun with it. Uncommon Goods is making holiday shopping way less stressful this year with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts that you cannot find anywhere else. Uncommon Goods is the best place to discover extraordinary designs from small businesses and independent makers since 1999. It's truly the perfect name for this website because there are so many unique and interesting gifts for anybody in your life, and there's so many different niches. The mixologists, the gardeners, the diehard football fans, the history buffs, the book lovers, whatever your person that you're shopping for is interested in, you're gonna find something special and unique on Uncommon Goods. One scroll through their site, you'll know what I'm talking about. There's just so many unique niche gifts, and they're all from independent artists, small businesses, so you feel good supporting them. A lot of these gifts are made in small batches, so when you're shopping for the holidays, shop now because they will sell out, which is a great thing because we love a small batch unique gift. Also, every purchase at Uncommon Goods, they give back a dollar to a nonprofit partner of your choice, and they've donated more than $3 million to date. So get started early on the holiday shopping this season at Uncommon Goods. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/alreadyfriends. That's uncommongoods.com/alreadyfriends for 15% off. Do not miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I think it makes it more fulfilling, and I think that's going to be 10x with a baby. Like, I'm so excited to travel with our child or children someday to see things through their eyes. And yeah, there's limitations. Like, you can't do everything the same if you have a baby with you. But I think that there will be all of these new special activities and experiences that having a child there will make it so special. So obviously, I don't have a kid, and I could be being so optimistic, and there might be new moms listening that are like, oh my God, just wait. But I think it is a lot of mindset. It sounds like you're a big traveler already, so this could not be that big of a deal for you. To where maybe someone who doesn't travel that frequently, like a big Europe trip, might already be like such an undertaking versus someone who's super used to traveling. It's not that big of a difference for them.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that was really good insight. And I think maybe there's like a middle ground. I don't know. If you feel like this is too delusional, well, one, just book something and make it refundable. So plan for something. As long as it's fully refundable, maybe baby comes and, like Allison said, the temperament is a lot more demanding than you imagined, then you can just cancel it and get all your money back. Just like get a refundable flight, refundable hotels, whatever you choose to do. And maybe the more pragmatic side of me, maybe you could pick one of the three locations. I mean, again, I'm not a mom, not pregnant, never have experienced this, but I have some friends among their close stories, and I know their babies are really fussy and they wake up every 3 hours, like baby won't sleep through the night. And they're like, if your baby sleeps through the night, don't tell me because I hate you. So like maybe one location. Yeah, because I'm just like imagining being tired. Like again, not a mom, but like I just feel like you're going to be tired. I don't know. Unless, again, baby's great. So if you want a middle ground, maybe just pick one of those places and then go for 2 weeks. So then if you sleep 2 or 3 days in a row, you don't feel like you're missing out on a location. And if it's possible, can you bring a parent or a sibling or a cousin or like someone that can maybe watch the baby even for like an hour for you guys to go to dinner or like experience the country? Because it would suck if you got all the way there and then resting or like just like whatever happens keeps you in your hotel or Airbnb.
I think those are great points, limiting it to one destination so that you don't feel rushed or forced to go explore every day. And yeah, if you could have a loved one join you for even part of it, that could take a lot of that pressure off. And my other thought was how many families I've seen do this. Prior when I was living in Omaha, this would have seemed really crazy, I think, to me. But living in Tulum, where there's so many digital nomads and tourists and people living there for, you know, a couple months at a time, I saw so many like couples with newborn babies or like small children. And they're like, yeah, this is already like his fourth country. And that was so helpful for me to be like, okay, this is possible. People do this. And now Harlem, it's way more family friendly, not like a tourist destination, but literally every day, I think I see 30 cute parents with a child just out living their life. And that has helped me mentally a lot, being like, okay, my life doesn't have to stop just because I have a kid. Like, I can keep traveling, I can keep doing stuff for myself, I can keep going to the gym. And I know it's going to be different, it's going to change, but I don't think it has to be this or that. It can, like Kara said, be somewhere in the middle.
Okay, well, good luck and keep us posted with what you choose.
Okay, next question. We got a fun, juicy one. Advice for when birth control has killed your sex drive, but you have to stay on it. What things can you do to get that part of your life back on track with your partner?
I guess we can preface this one to say we are not doctors. We do not want to give you medical advice, but a lot of people have a experience with birth control. I guess I'll answer the first part from my experience and then try to give you some advice with the sex drive part. I just found that when I was on birth control, there was always a cause and effect. Like, it was great for like the first year or so that I was on it. But then I would go back to the doctor and they're like, ooh, you're getting high blood pressure. So since we put you on this, now we're gonna have to put you on this. And there was always like a cause and effect. Sorry, I know you said you have to stay on it. So if this is totally not resonating, just fast forward. But just like for anyone else listening, I just hated that like being on that caused me something else that I needed to then ail or like treat. And like, I guess I'm very lucky. This also comes from like a very lucky point of view that I have a normal period. I have had like literally zero pregnancy scares from like tracking my period with a free app. and like just tracking when I'm fertile based on my period, I had way more pregnancy scares when I was on birth control because you never knew when your period was coming. You never knew if you were actually pregnant. And I guess the whole point of birth control is to not be worried about getting pregnant. And me and Connor were reflecting on this recently. Like, I was way more scared of getting pregnant when I was on birth control because you're way less careful versus when I know now when I'm fertile, we're just like way more cautious. So that's my first half of the spiel. Let me throw it over to you, Allison. Do you have anything to share on that?
Yeah, I would agree that I have a lot of opinions about birth control. I was on the Depo Provera shot when I was like 16, and I was on that until I was like 25, so like 9 years. And now studies have shown that you're not supposed to be on Depo for more than 7 years because it can affect your bone density and all of these other things. And if I could go back, I would have never gotten on birth control, because Depo actually fully took away my period. And I know not all birth controls take away your period, but as a woman, our bodies are made to create, and our period is such an important indicator of our overall health. Like, you can get so much feedback through your period, whether it's the frequency of your period, the length, the intensity of it, if you have pain with it. There's so much that can be learned through your observing your own body with its monthly cycle. And I feel like that's such a blessing. I have this post I put on Lemonade, reasons I enjoy getting my period. Obviously, I don't have one now because I'm pregnant, but this was like last fall. And it is still getting comments every single day of people being like, well, tell me you have a healthy period without telling me you have a healthy period. And I'm like, yeah, but this is the whole point. It's like, in the same way that with like our physical bodies, we strive to be healthy in other areas, as a woman, prioritizing what you need to do to get a healthy period, I feel like should be one of the most important things of our life, like especially if you want to have kids someday. And so depending what your reason is, you said I have to stay on it, I would just reflect really deeply and be like, what is that you have to stay on it? Or is that some sort of programming that you just feel like that's the only option? Because I agree, there are other ways to prevent pregnancy besides birth control. And I think it's extremely unfair that women are the ones that are expected to be on birth control. Like, where's the man's part in this? How about the man doesn't get the woman pregnant? So I just think that is unfair that women already have to go through so much with our periods and pregnancy and birth. And then on top of it, we're also given birth control that completely messes with our hormones and our natural cycles. I could keep going, but yeah, I'm going to pass the mic back to Kara now.
So yeah, so then I went to the doctor when I was on birth control, and they're like, you have high blood pressure, so now we're going to put you on blood pressure medicine. And also, birth control was giving me melasma on my face, so then I was getting dark spots on my face, and then I had to go on melasma cream. And at one point, I literally broke down. I was like, this is too much. Or what the purpose of this is, I feel like I can just track this on my own. It's causing me so much more stress. It's causing me way more health issues. And yeah, that's my story. I got off, the melasma went away, blood pressure went back to normal. It took 6 months to get my hormones back to normal. And I will say that part freaking sucked. Like, when your hormones are super whack. And now there's a lot of vitamins and supplements that help you get off birth control. At the time, I could not find anything. I tried, but my hair was falling out after I got off. My skin was breaking out like crazy. Like, that shock of being on a supplemented hormone and then getting off was rough. And I'm not going to sugarcoat that at all. But yeah, at least for me. So for like what you're saying, you lost your sex drive. That's just the same cause and effect that I went through. Like, for me, it just wasn't worth it to lose or gain new ailments for something that, like, now that I've been doing it with just tracking, again, like, I'm way less stressed. Like, I know the 5 days of the month that I'm ovulating. So then we're just extra careful versus, again, that time where I was on birth control. It was just way more stressful. Like Allison said, I would just reflect on why you have to stay on it. I know that there are several, not diseases, I guess, but like, things like PCOS or different things. I have a friend, her doctor said to be on birth control to help fix it. I think a lot of the time that's a Band-Aid solution. Like, whatever your problem is, they're just throwing a Band-Aid on it. Oh, being on birth control will fix it. It's not fixing anything. It's just managing it. And there are so many accounts. I will link this one girl. She does amazing posts on living with PCOS and healing it instead of being on birth control to minimize it. And I feel like there's just so many things like that where, like, we are living in a medical system that just puts Band-Aids on everything, like my high blood pressure or my melasma. Oh, use this cream. Oh, use this blood pressure medicine instead of saying, okay, what caused this? Because I do not have high blood pressure. I don't have melasma. Like, it was just happening because of something. Let's remove that factor. But again, not a doctor. That's just your bestie advice from me. Harsh.
I mean, fundamentally, it makes sense that birth control would take away your sex drive, right? Because it's trying to control your desire to procreate. Like, I just think that that seems like a direct correlate. And if that's what you're experiencing, then you're going to have to work twice as hard to have your sex drive return. And I feel like if you're not going to change the input of the birth control, then the only other thing you can really do is mentally try to amp yourself up to get your sex drive back. And that doesn't sound very fun to me. That feels like forcing yourself to do something that should be a natural experience. And so all in all, I guess I just want to say, like, I'm sorry you're going through this. And I hope that you find a way to get it better. And I don't even know if changing birth control would help your situation, because then that can add more complications. Now your body's more confused. You gave it one thing and now you're giving it something else. So I just hope that you can find a route that works for you and your body that also prevents the outcome of not getting pregnant if that's not what you're going for.
Yes, echoing that, I am sorry that you're going through it. It sucks. And yeah, maybe something mental that you can work on, or maybe how my doctor recommended, maybe getting on something else to help the sex drive. But yeah, sending you all the good energy and hope that you can get it sorted.
I'll say a few things that I think could help increase the sex drive. One, there's a quote that's like, an object in motion stays in motion. Like, I think if I'm up and living life and being productive, like, it's easier for me to just keep that momentum going. I think sex is similar. Like, if you have sex more frequently, it is easier to just keep that going. It doesn't seem like such a big deal. And then in order to get yourself in the mood, something that I think works really well is taking like nude selfies or just like pictures, if you're going to send them to your partner or just to have for yourself. I think that's a really good confidence boost and helps you like it normalize to yourself and your brain that a naked body and sex is normal. I was actually literally thinking about it yesterday, how crazy it is that pregnancy and having a child is viewed as this amazing, beautiful thing. Like, literally anyone that's like, oh, I'm pregnant, people are like, congratulations. Oh my gosh, this is so beautiful, so exciting for you. But no one will talk about the sex part. So it's almost the same as if everyone just talked about a meal that was made, but then shunned cooking. It was like, oh no, we don't want to actually look at the process that happened. Like, let's not talk about cooking. No details about the chef, please. Let me focus on the meal, like the outcome. And I just think that's so weird. Like, why? I mean, there's a million reasons why. We could have a whole other episode about that. Why sex has been shunned the way it is. But if a mental block for you is like feeling any sort of guilt or shame about sex, maybe you could do some mindset work about why you feel that way.
Yeah. And I guess I will also give a practical tip, because I feel like I was really harsh. I'm sorry if it came off harsh. Read some smut books. Get into some spicy reading. That could really help as well.
Next question.
I accumulated about $15,000 in credit card debt from living in an apartment above my means. I was living with a guy friend after a breakup, but he got obsessive and started writing down everything I do and acting like we were together. So I took the first place I could find, and it was way over my budget. I ended up having to charge my rent to credit cards for months and use my income for other bills and food. I finally moved and have less expenses now, but the remaining $11,000 is so overwhelming. I haven't been able to find a career job since I moved, and I'm getting that mid-20s urge to want to get married and have a kid soon. One part of me is telling me to go with the flow, but the other is super high-strung and upset. Have you guys experienced this? Is the snowball method the best? That's a method for decreasing your debt. Does it matter as much as it seems? It doesn't feel like a quarter-life crisis, but maybe it is. Love you guys.
Honestly, I think this situation is totally recoverable and more common than you think it is. There's a lot of different types of debt to accumulate. Some people are like, oh, I'm going to open a business, and they buy a bunch of stuff when they're starting this business, and then they have this hard time paying back business debt. So many people have student loans. There's people who have home loans or car loans that are way out of their means. And I'm not saying that that's good or anything to aim for, but I think $11,000 is a manageable amount that you shouldn't let it control your life. When I graduated from college, I had like 30K in student loans. And at the time, that seemed like such a big number because I was just freelancing and starting my life as a young adult. I had my own apartment downtown. You have all of these new bills. And I was just like, oh my gosh, like how am I going to pay this all off? But now I'm 30. I think I have $4,000 left. It just kind of faded into the background. I pay the monthly payment and I don't do anything different in my life because I have that loan in the back of my mind. All in all, I think $11,000 seems manageable if you're not making it worse. I think if you try to live within your means and keep an eye on it and keep chipping away at it, then you'll start to feel more confident in that and not feel as high strung and upset about it. Time really will just make that better as long as you're not making it worse.
You're so right. $11,000 is so manageable. And I love you wrote this in your notes, but getting a bartending job or a serving job, highly recommend, and throwing all that money to the debt. I'm thinking about your situation. It sounds like this was just an unfortunate situation. You got put in a tough spot, had to do what you had to do, took this high cost apartment and just ran with it. And just a reminder, like, don't be so hard on yourself if you're being tough on yourself right now. What's done is done. Don't live in the past. Don't dwell on it. The situation you're in is the situation that you're in. I know this is easier said than done, but I would just go into discipline mode. Like, be extra frugal, like Allison said, live below your means, but like really set a timeline. And maybe you can ask ChatGPT for a good course of action, but like secure an extra job. You said you've had a hard time finding a career job since you moved. Go to a restaurant, go to a bar. You can make so much money doing a restaurant job. Work super hard, be super disciplined, and try to chip away at that, because having debt is the most debilitating feeling. Even though, again, I agree, $11,000 is not that much. It's totally manageable. But for me, if I was in this situation, I would just go into what, as everyone's saying, stand on business mode and just lock in, chip away at it, and just try to live super below my means. There's a really good YouTube creator. He's kind of corny, kind of cheesy, but Caleb Hammer. I would watch some of his videos and look at his advice, but his advice is just like, be frugal. Like, you have $20,000 in debt. Why do you have a Spotify account? Why are you ordering DoorDash of $500 every 3 months? Like, really take a look at your finances. This is a credit card debt. And I'm thinking in my head, you probably have a higher APR, maybe between like 11 to 20%. So every single month that you're not paying it off, yes, it is getting bigger and bigger. Versus other loans have a lower APR, like a car loan or a home loan, where you do have the flexibility of time and it's not as much to pay it off later. But since this is a credit card debt, I would try to attack it as fast as possible. Pretend you're training for a marathon. Like, you are training for 6 months to a year to tackle this, and it's going to require some mental toughness, some mental discipline to get through it.
And I also find that giving myself small rewards for things I don't really want to do helps a lot. So maybe with this $11,000, maybe each $1,000 that you pay off, or each almost $3,000 that you pay off, you could have something to look forward to, probably something that doesn't cost too much money, so that we don't make this problem worse. But Literally in my notes, I'll write down like, okay, if I do this, then I can do that other thing. And 9 times out of 10, I will do the thing I don't want to do much faster because I want the reward. So think about whatever it is in your life, something you want. Maybe you do not want this server or bartending job, and the idea of that makes you like miserable just thinking about it. Or if it's Uber or something like that, if you're like, okay, I'm going to do this part-time job and I'm going to get all this cash and throw it at it, and once this card is paid off, I can quit that job. Maybe that's the light at the end of the tunnel for you. Whatever it is, I think you got to set some sort of a timeline, or B, a reward that's going to like light a fire under you to just get it over with.
And if you want some positive energy, I loved working at a restaurant. It was so much fun. I worked at a country club restaurant for 4 years and I became a manager. It was so fun. I loved it. So that's some good energy for you. If this sounds debilitating, you're like, I don't want to get a bartending job, a restaurant job. It was so much fun. You build community with people that you work with. You get to meet customers and build rapport. And one of my really good friends, Tanya, same thing, was a waitress for like 4 years, 5 years. She loved it too. So it's so fun. So view this as like a challenge, as maybe it could be maybe this is happening for a reason. Like maybe you're going to get a restaurant job, a side job, and it's going to be so fulfilling and add something to your life that would have never happened had you not been in this position.
Yeah. Or there's other side jobs that you could do that might lead you down a new career path. When I graduated, I started reselling because I was like, okay, this doesn't take that much investment. Go to the thrift store, go to auctions, buy stuff, resell it. And then that literally led to me opening an entire secondhand clothing store. And I would have never known at the time that that's how that path was going to play out. So who knows? Like Kara said, maybe this could be good.
Oh, okay, well, sending you lots of good energy and hope that you can tackle this in the coming future. Okay, guys, that was our July What Would Your Bestie Do? Thank you to everyone for sending in questions. As always, you can find that on our website, allyourfriendspodcast.com/WWYBD. Send in your questions at any point, and we do that at the end of every month.
Thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll catch you next week. Bye.
Bye.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.